Let me tell you a tale of something that happened on this world an unimaginably long time ago during the Pleistocene Age. This was a great period of intermittent glaciation, where the Earth saw radically different and varying climate from what we see today, that allowed for the advancement and retreat of massive ice sheets breaking out of the Arctic and covering large areas of the surface of the Earth. The land fauna of this world, such as the mammoth, plied the landscape, adapted for the reality of this periodically colder world, strangely coexisting with the oceanic world, where extremely ancient animals from many ages before, such as the coelacanth fish, of enormously prehistoric origin, did, and still does, ply the depths. After all of the extinction events and outright battering this world and its life has taken from many different sources, life was still here, and was just at the cusp during the Pleistocene of what was either life on Earth's greatest achievement or its greatest curse. This was the age just before humans. We call our current age after the Pleistocene the Holocene Epoch. This epoch led to a kind of war of words. The word Holocene simply harkens back to ancient Greek, like so many of our terms in science do, and in a nutshell means something along the lines of entirely new. And it was. It stems from the end of the last ice age, as the glaciers retreated about 11,700 years ago to now. But it doesn't acknowledge what happened on this planet during that subsequent time, leading some to impose the word Anthropogene Age, or the Age of Humanity, due to our massive alteration of the conditions of this planet. I think the second term is misleading in a way, because anatomically modern humans existed well before the Holocene. Indeed, most of our existence as proper Homo sapiens occurred during the end of the Pleistocene Epoch. We were on this world when the Great Laurentide Ice Sheet collapsed, making way for the New Age. We are, by definition, a Pleistocene species that persisted into a newer age, and yes, our technology has radically given this world a makeover that can't be ignored. But if we went away tomorrow, the current geologic age wouldn't just immediately stop. Even if it did, we'd be extinct, so there would be no humans around to name it. But if something of us did survive, say a sentient artificial intelligence, perhaps after destroying us, it might nostalgically continue the epoch-naming tradition. And if it didn't name it after itself, it might call the next epoch the post-Anthropogene, following the Holocene, if our former presence affected the planet long-term enough to define a new age. At least until another ice age comes. We are still technically in an interglacial period. But as a development of the Pleistocene epoch, Homo sapiens came relatively late in it. And when we do appear, the reality is that there was already someone here. The first fires and tools being used on planet Earth were not our inventions, but rather something we inherited. Think about that. A controlled fire is not a phenomenon of nature, but the harnessing and use of it takes advantage of nature, as is the fashioning of a hand axe out of raw stone, that makes these, by definition, technologies. If you think about it, all objects of our modern age are fashioned from, and are allowed for, by the properties of nature. Today we mine aluminum from the crust of the Earth and refine it, just as our predecessor hominids once did for suitable materials for stone tools. We mine gold and use it to build computers, whereas it was also used as a coinage before that, and ornaments even before then. We build cars of steel, again, mined from natural materials. That is technology. The unnatural from the natural. But technology does not originate with Homo sapiens. Here we must give credit to our hominid predecessors, though it's unclear just which one invented tool making. But it was in full swing by the time of Homo erectus. Before modern humanity, there was someone on this world making tools and using fire, and from them came us in more ways than just simple evolution. Aside from our precursor hominid's position as an ancestor species, it's very possible that species like Homo erectus not existed as they did, we'd have never developed at all. The first incidence of the control of fire is debated. There are some claims of evidence of technological fire going back further than a million years, but more reliably under a million years. Fire changed everything. Of course, fire has always existed in nature, but through its controlled use, making it a technology, Homo erectus could cook food, run off predators at night, make better tools, use it for warmth and lighting, which ultimately extends the day, and so on. This may have affected and facilitated human evolution to Homo sapiens and our highly technological, intelligent brains. In short, the fire and the tools made modern humanity, not the other way around. One major step for which there is evidence is an early Homo sapiens site, though they were not yet entirely modern. These were very early archaic examples of our species from about 300,000 years ago, where it seems that fire was used to harden and heat treat stone, making it better suited for fashioning better tools. This is yet another early technology that we still use today. We still heat treat all sorts of things. So here's the question. If our existence depends on the intelligence level and primitive technology of our progenitor species, that itself could not go to space or make itself visible to alien civilizations as we do, does that mean we are inherently artificial? Are we biological AI? Does all highly technological intelligence in the universe come about in this way? That's right. It may be that if you want to interact with a general artificial intelligence, you don't need it to be an electronic one. Just look in the mirror and talk with other people. And this effect is compounded by another rather spooky thing. Aside from technologically guided intelligence, your thinking is not the same thing as how an early modern human 50,000 years ago thought in one key way. It's in how you were programmed. We call it learning and education, but teaching children to read, write, do math, cook, tie shoelaces, ride bicycles, speak, and so on, are necessarily learned and taught pieces of information that lead to a worldview and existence very much different from our ancestors that lived before the discoveries and inventions existed that led to the convention of those things being taught, and sometimes they replaced other things formerly widely taught. Comparatively few today know how to make a stone knife and keep it sharp, fashion a clay pot and heat treat it, mix up the materials of nature to make paint for the cave wall, operate the ins and outs of a manual typewriter, and so on. That, of course, doesn't mean our ancestors were unintelligent. They were just early in the game, as far as building the cumulative knowledge on which our modern civilization is built on. But education is rare in nature, outside of humans, though some form of it likely existed with Homo erectus and before. How to keep a fire going or making a tool is knowledge passed from one individual to another. Some animals do acquire knowledge from others, and even interspecies. We can train animals, and we learn from them all the time. But it's not on our scale as human civilizations. Dinosaurs were not writing textbooks on physics, and ultimately figuring out over centuries how to deflect an asteroid. While it would have been useful for them, they didn't have the brain for it. But for Homo erectus to have existed, and subsequently led to Homo sapiens, everything was very situational. For it to come about, a great many things had to happen. The right physiology, in the right climate, in the right area of the world, and many other things had to converge to reach Homo erectus. Had anything gone wrong and they went extinct, which they are now, then the chain to us would have been broken. We know from the history of Earth that no other situation in the past 4.5 billion years has presented itself such that a technological civilization developed. Because of the Silurian hypothesis, we can't rule that out, but we see no evidence for it. So in all that time, only one highly technological species has appeared, and it depended on previously primitive technological species. As a result, this might be a strong candidate solution for the Fermi paradox, that intelligence on our level just doesn't happen often. It could simply be too hard to get there for most inhabited worlds. Sure, some make it. Intelligence on our level is unlikely to be unique, but they might either be so far away we can't ever see them, or they may exist at a different time. If civilizations are very transient and are only detectable for a short time before they run out of resources and go extinct, or alternatively reset to a more primitive existence, then it would be no wonder that we see the Great Silence. For we ourselves, if it ends up that we can't solve our problems as a civilization, go rapidly silent in the grand scheme of things. But there's an opposite side to this idea. And it's the idea that once you hit technological intelligence, it becomes extremely resilient and almost impossible to eradicate. If a civilization lasts long enough to begin to colonize space, then essentially the things that can cause their extinction begin to fall off the table. If you are confined to a single world like Earth, asteroids are a threat for a time during technological development. This time is passing for us. We've already proven we can deflect an asteroid. But for a multi-planet species, only very situationally can full extinction result from an asteroid impact. The more planets your species inhabits, the less likely extinction is, essentially on all counts. This makes the Great Silence rather spooky because no one seems to have done this in the Milky Way. That problem is at the heart of the Fermi paradox because there isn't a ready answer that can be proven. Absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. So perhaps the overarching question to ask is if Earth could have ever produced another civilization had the natural history of the planet been a bit different. Yes and no. The idea of a dinosaur civilization has surfaced before in sci-fi, perhaps most notably in the Star Trek Voyager episode Distant Origin. For the dinosaurs, however, this was unlikely, and indeed they may have been moving towards a partial evolutionary dead end well before the asteroid hit. The problem is that Earth had less oxygen in their day, and that was pivotal for the development of our very hungry and large, for our size, human brain. So Earth's evolutionary paths before the rise of the mammals was relatively limited, and we appear only when we could appear based on the condition of this world, both evolutionarily and in terms of climate. This path won't be the same for all planets in the universe. There may be many biospheres out there, but few that reach the magic conditions needed for intelligence. But once that does happen, there could be an explosion of intelligence on a world across not just one, but multiple species, both through natural evolution towards it, but also technology. Yet we see nothing when we look out into the cosmos, at least so far, though that changes in a day with the discovery of a strong SETI candidate. It may simply be that the creation of a somewhat technologically enhanced position of early tool use and fire use for the continued evolution towards intelligence is a prerequisite, and that the great filter may simply be that such a situation doesn't happen very often, and the natural result of an emergence of artificial intelligence of sorts from a progenitor tool-using species isn't common at all. But I leave you with this. If it can be said that we are a form of biological artificial intelligence brought about by the actions of Homo erectus, then what does that say to our current attempts to bring about silicon artificial intelligence? After all, let's not forget, Homo erectus is extinct. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently casting a suspicious glance at the dinosaurs. Maybe they were smarter than we thought. Extinct species often go in that direction as we learn more about them. And maybe instead of deflecting the asteroid, they just considered the whole thing highly unlikely and just didn't bother to try. The hubris of the dinosaurs knows no limits. Won't even get into the grim view I have of the related pterodactyls. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.